You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Your table is now ready. Your servers will be Nate Geary and Bruce Nolan. Our specials today are cold, hard facts and fresh, hot takes. Can I get you started with... I'm sorry, just one moment. Can I get a little energy in here?
Serving it up to you live on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Picasso's Pizza. I'm Bruce Nolan. That decked out man next to me is Nate Geary, and this is Food for Thought, a show combining two of your three favorite F words. That's right, food and football. The third one is freneticism this evening.
It's a made-up word.
It is absolutely not a made-up word. Freneticism. Go ahead and look it up. We Google things on this show. That's what we do. Freneticism.
I wouldn't even know how to spell it.
Because that is the way that we're feeling. Because Nate Geary jumped on at exactly 9 o'clock today because he's having some technical problems. So frenetic is the way that we are feeling. Freneticism is the noun. So, Mr. Geary, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, Bruce, I'm well. Could you say I've been being slightly bullied online this week?
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen anything.
I think you've been bullying me online a little bit.
I've been bullying you online? How have I been bullying you online? You know what? See, that's just like Nate Geary. He's going to say I've been bullying him online, and then he's just going to disconnect. He's just gone. Just completely gone. Poof. Out into the ether. He's gone. While he's gone, a reminder that this show and every show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network is presented by Picasso's Pizza because we want you to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net. We got some people in the comments section. JR, always good to see you, my man. He says, now remember, a dolphin is not a fish, so trample the mammal. You know what, JR? I would like to change the hashtag squish the fish to trample the mammal, specifically because of what you just said. I really admire that. I might watch Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, in preparation for this game. Richard Rush in the comments section. Richard, good to see you, man. Tuna salad time, he says. Tuna salad time. A reminder that you got to hit all the engagement buttons for me. Like, subscribe, rate, review, super chats at or greater than $10 will get yourself a Genesee pint glass. Follow at Genesee Brewery on Twitter and DM at Nate Geary Sports, proof of the super chat and the Genesee follow with your address, and he will get you a copy of it. So, moving along, we are going to talk today about momentum foods. And no, I'm not talking about beer. When I say momentum foods, I mean stuff you get on a roll with. You start eating it, you kind of get on a roll. It gets almost a little easier as you go. And I'm not talking about beer, although Food for Thought is presented proudly by Genesee Brewing Company. Since 1878, Genesee has poured generations of brewing knowledge into each pint, can, and bottle of their beer. They make no sacrifices when it comes to their beer, brewing each with the highest quality ingredients for a consistently great drinking experience. Look for Genesee Beer, Genesee Light, Cream Ale, and their specialty line with beers like Ruby Red Kolsch and Oktoberfest. Genesee Brewery, Rochester, New York. Momentum Foods. Foods you can get on a roll with. And I'll start with me because Nate's not here. My Momentum food is potato chips. And I would like to dive into a little bit of the chemist side of that. I'm not a huge potato chip guy. I'm not a huge eat the potato chips out of the bag kind of guy. But there's a reason why they're so addictive, and it's because of the salt. One of the things that salty snacks do to you is they trick your body into believing that you're hungrier when you are than you actually are. One of the things that consistently leads to overeating is underdrinking. And I don't mean underdrinking like beer. I mean underdrinking like water. Like your body is dehydrated. And sometimes your body can confuse thirst with hunger. You think you're hungry, but you're not. You're just thirsty. But it doesn't land like that. And that's why some of those salty snacks can be so addictive. They can be so momentum-based. Because the more you eat of it, the hungrier you feel like you actually are before the carbs catch up with you. So for me, Momentum food is specifically potato chips. Now, any salty snack can be used, but it's mostly because as you eat them, you feel like you're still hungry, but you're not. You're thirsty, but your body is confused. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about tonight, this morning,
today,
this afternoon,
tonight.
whenever it is that you're actually listening to this pod.
How's when my audio, by the way, Bruce? Do I sound
it's
okay?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
I just, you know, for whatever reason now, this isn't working. You know, I'm just, it's Dolphins week.
It's Dolphins week.
You know I'm being sabotaged by Dolphins.
You're being sabotaged by Dolphins fans. That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
You know, I just finished talking about Momentum foods for me. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is potato chips and salty foods specifically. And okay. I talked about the chemistry reason behind that, but I'm going to have you jump right in right now and talk a little bit about your Momentum food.
So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about like, okay, when I'm moving along and I'm hungry and I'm looking for something, or I've already had dinner and I'm at home watching TV, watching a game, but I got that like little extra hungry left in me and I don't want to do dishes and I don't want to do the whole thing. I don't want to stop the momentum, right? Cheese and crackers is big in this house. So, you know, like we go like the extra sharp cheese, cheddar, of course, and the thin Triscuits, because the thin Triscuits really are, to me, the, first of all, you don't get the assault of your mouth. You know, like you're not going to have like giant scrapes and scratches on the inside of your mouth when you go with the triangular thin. Are you familiar?
I am familiar with
triangular thin. Are you a Triscuit?
I am a Triscuit guy, and I am an extra sharp cheddar guy. You and I are wired similarly in the cheese and crackers status. I like Wheat Thins, but Triscuits hold up better.
Triscuits hold up better, and so they Triscuit has this Parmesan. Thin wheat, the Parmesan the thin Triscuit. Oh, and it's money because it goes with a bunch. And so like, you know, we've got a couple of different types of jams. Typically it's like an apricot, but there's in there the other day, what did we have? It was like a smoky bacon jam. Fantastic. So you get a little bit of everything in there, right? You get your sweet tooth. If you got a sweet tooth, you go with a sweet jam. And if you're looking for that savory, you've got the, And like, I like to throw a little craisin on there too at the top, you know, a little dried cranberry. I think it like kind of, you can like make your own little sandwich with it and you could eat pretty much as many as you want and not feel terrible. So it's kind of like the perfect, I'm not messing up your momentum type of, we call it a meal or do we want to call it like, cause it's not really a snack as much. I mean, it is a snack, but it's like, it's not an hors d'oeuvre.
It's a dish.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just a standard dish. Why not?
I think it's...
Unless you want to go snack. You want to go appetizer?
No, because what I was describing is not an appetizer. It's not like before the meal. Most of the time, it's after my meal. I mean, it could be used as an appetizer, though, for sure. I'm just... I don't know, Bruce. I don't know what to call cheese and crackers. Is it an hors d'oeuvre? Could we call it an hors d'oeuvre?
Yeah, let's call it an hors d'oeuvre.
All right, I'm fine with it.
Is it a finger food that one would potentially pass around at like a party? Sure.
Yo, yeah.
So let's go hors d'oeuvre then.
I'm good with hors d'oeuvre.
hors d'oeuvre it is. We're just solving the world's problems, Nate. That's what we're doing.
Did I see here that that Patton's in Miami?
Patton's in Miami. Welcome to Miami. Yeah.
Good for you, Patton. Could you, while you're down there, you should drop little flyers with my face on it and see if anybody picks them up.
You're really popular in Miami, I hear.
And I go there a lot, too. People don't know. So here's the thing, Bruce. And before we get into the rest of this, and we'll get into more of this later. The Miami fan base has decided to go nuclear. And I'm always of the mind, even now, with the Bills as good as they are, to be confident, borderline cocky. And that's kind of how, as an athlete, of you, especially when you play the quarterback position your whole life, the things my coaches, you always say, like the good quarterbacks, they're confident, they're borderline cocky, but they don't cross that line. And right now, they're just zero hedging, Bruce. There's no hedging happening whatsoever with Dolphins fans. And I caution them because I've maintained a level of conservatism about this game because for a lot of reasons, A, I do respect the opponent. Like, I do respect the Dolphins, Bruce. But they are very – here's the thing. For the very different reasons why I hate the Titans, because I hate the Titans for sure. For a very different reason, I'm starting to hate the Dolphins, but it's through osmosis because their fans are the worst. Like they are the, like, you know, they're just classic Florida man. And you know what I mean by that, right? Like, you know, you read the paper, you go on Twitter and you see a headline that says Florida man, that is just like 75% of their fan base. But the levels, Bruce, that they are going leaves no doubt. It leaves no other alternative. If they don't win, Bruce, I don't know that I'll be able to hold back any longer. Like, I will, Bruce, I have been bookmarking tweets. Like, I mean, let me just quickly pull up my Twitter and scroll so I can show you guys the amount of bookmarked Dolphins fans tweets that I have right now. I've hedged a little bit. I'm confident. I believe the Bills will win. But I mean, is it up here? Oh,
there,
it is up
there
here.
There you
okay.
go. There you go.
I didn't know.
This
I didn't know.
Great,
I was
this
saw
is
this
great
camera.
Audio content, by the way.
A lot of it's just from this dude here, this Valley Boys Sports,
now,
who all of you should
important.
Follow.
It is very, very important that you know this. Very important. Valley Boy Sports is a troll account run by someone who actually doesn't like Tua.
No. No, that's not true.
Okay. Okay, so Kevin Garrard, who's a member of Buffalo Fanatics, who's a Dolphins fan, is the one who told me this. And I trust the Dolphins fan to tell me this.
No
he doesn't
shot,
like,
dude.
He doesn't like him either.
I don't believe that. I no.
Why would he lie?
See, like Jeremy Klump, he is a ironic Dolphins fan who does not like Tua.
But that Klump guy? Is the guy who runs Valley Sports.
No.
Yes, that's the same guy.
No. I'm pushing back hard on that.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to pull this up and I'm so glad that we're having this discussion right here. I'm so glad this is great content for the audio listeners.
No, I know Jeremy Klump. There's no way that he runs that other campaign, that other account. No shot.
Oh, we're going to find out. We're going to find out.
You're mistaken, Bruce. And that's okay.
Well,
you know,
keep
you
talking.
Can't be right all the time. You
Keep
can't
talking.
Be right all the
I'll
time.
Find it.
And this is for the first time. Well, not for the first time. Me and Miss Nolan, we vibe. I mean, and I are on the same wavelength about a lot of things, but no more than right now. Bruce, you're wrong here.
Okay, so this is the quote from Kevin, right? Who told me, dude, this is a troll account. Valley Boy Sports is run by Professor Klump, who is a Tua hater. Direct from the Dolphins fan to me. Who has no reason to lie, mind you. No reason to lie. After I figured that out, I went ahead and just blocked the account and moved on. So I'm not going to be dunking on him at
Valley
all.
Valley Boys Sports.
Yes.
That's what it's called, right?
Yes. So while you were looking that up, we have some comments here. Trey Hardy says, Florida man, Tua is the better version of Josh Allen, is how Twitter has felt this week. Yes. Patton says, this is why you got to tune into the show. Yes, this is the riveting content that we're talking about.
Bruce, a part of me gets it. And Aaron Quinn had the perfect tweet. Did you see his tweet?
I did.
The Patriots tweet where the Patriots tweet, for all those years, this is probably how Patriots fans kind of viewed me. And he's like, it's embarrassing. I was like, yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is exactly how they viewed us. And I mean, rightfully so, right? But there's just not a level of, and part of it could just be trolling, right? And to your point, I don't understand trolling, to me, to be honest. Like, I just am who I am, and that's who I am on social media. Correct. Like, it's not a facade. Like you're exactly who you are.
Yes, there's literally nothing at all different about me on social media. It's 100% accurate.
It is just you on your birth certificate. This is who you are.
Yes, Bruce Nolan right here on the birth certificate.
Bruce
Nolan,
Bruce exclusive. It says it in small writing on your birth certificate. No,
I would never deceive anyone about who I actually am.
And I'm genuine about this, Bruce. I don't have a burner account. I swear to God, I don't. People ask me all the time. A lot of people don't believe that. People will tag me and stuff, be like, this got to be Gary's burner. I don't have one because I don't understand that whole vibe. There's a lot of things about social media I don't understand, but the approach that Dolphins fans are taking, it's just a slippery slope, man. Because what happens when they probably lose? I mean, the Bills have a superior quarterback. They have the best quarterback, the best pass rusher. It's really close with receiver. If it's not a dead even, there's very different Diggs and Hill. Very, very different. Better tight end. Better offensive line. If Xavier Howard's not playing, better corners. I get it. They're excited. They should be. That second half that we'll get into here when we do our food simile, like, that second half was really impressive for a lot of reasons. And if you were just waiting for Tua to make plays and give you some ammunition, you got it. But they scored 7 points on offense 1 week ago, Bruce, against the Patriots, who I don't think are particularly very good. And then they played pretty miserably for the entire first half of that Ravens game. The Bills are 3 years in to Josh Allen playing at an MVP level. They're 3 years in to knocking on the door. Dolphins have been here for 5 minutes. They're like, it's like you throw a really nice party and it's adults and people are being mature. You know, we've got hors d'oeuvres, we're drinking champagne, and we've got, you know, liquor, like really high-end liquor, bourbons, and, you know, Bruce, it's a black tie affair. And then Dolphins show up with like beer funnels and, you know, I'm trying to think of what else I would have, you know, the Octobong beer funnel and beer pong, and they show up and they kind of crash the party. Like, bro, you guys have been here for 5 minutes. It's like the freshmen coming into your senior parties, you know, like, can you guys just relax a minute? Like, you just became relevant. Can you like just chill out for 1 minute? And the answer is very clearly no, Bruce. I had to sit on my soapbox there for a second. Because they're not leaving any room to come out of this any other way but a win. It will be bad. It will go badly for them.
I made sure I gave you the opportunity when I felt like there was some soapboxing done. It's kind of a vibe you get when you're a co-host. You're like, okay, he's on a soapbox. I'm just going to sit back for a second here because he's preaching. And you never get in the way of a man when he's preaching because he's got the power of God flowing through him. You get the Holy Spirit. He is testifying. And so the thing that's interesting to me, listening to you make those, you know, metaphors that you made, is I was never a freshman going to senior parties, and I was never a senior having freshmen come into my party because I just never went to parties. I was never invited to any. But, so like, I don't really understand any of that, but I think I get it conceptually.
When I went to college, right, and I played football at Buff State, and I didn't play my senior year, so my junior year, right? Like, you got the freshmen – that, and you did the same things when you were a freshman, right? Like, Bills fans did the same stuff for the most part when the Bills first started getting good, right? Like, get used to it, America, and the Josh Allen apology form. Like, those all things that happened, like, 6 games into them being good. But it was six games, Bruce, not one quarter, not 17 minutes. You know, like, I just, it's a little unwarranted. It's a little premature. And I just think that you can enjoy what you can enjoy the renewed sense of optimism without coming off as jerks and not coming off as overly cocky and not coming off as completely dismissive of a team that has spent years earning the right to be in this conversation. And you've been in the conversation borderline for 8 days.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I have a take. My take is that the narrative and the hype surrounding the Dolphins after their victory over the Baltimore Ravens is based almost entirely on the age of Tua. And I'll tell you why. Nate, what other team completed a furious last minute comeback that same day?
There was another big comeback, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was an AFC East team, if I remember correctly.
The New York Football Jets.
New York Jets against the Cleveland Browns. Why on earth are we not hearing the same hype for the New York Jets? Why? Because it's Joe Flacco. That's why. Because nobody was lulled into thinking that this was the beginning of something magical with Joe Flacco.
Right.
That's the difference. Nobody thought the Browns are a good team. The Ravens are a good team. The Browns are proving this week, we're going to get to it later, they're proving this week with Jacoby Brissett that bigger was a bigger problem than we think. But
yeah,
when you look at the Jets and they completed a furious comeback, complete with star plays from a young receiver in Garrett Wilson, and then you have big plays from a young receiver in Jalen Waddle in Miami to come back and beat an AFC North team, there's very significant similarities between these two.
Incredibly similar.
But we're not having nearly the same discussion about the New York Jets as we are with Miami Dolphins. Why? Because it's Joe Flacco. If it was Zach Wilson, we would.
Yeah,
because
probably.
Because the age of Tua. If we were doing this right now, and it was Bills Jets, and it was Zach Wilson who just finished completing that victory and put up the same stat line that Joe Flacco did, Jets fans would be sounding a lot like Miami fans.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree, Bruce, and only because I think it's been a longer process for the Dolphins, right? Like, this season, the coaching change, them being a team that had been knocking on the door for the last 3 years, missing out in the playoffs on week 17 and then week 18 and back-to-back years. The Jets have been so bad that I don't think a lot of people saved enough space, particularly Jets fans, saved enough space. I don't know that enough Jets fans care, Bruce. Do you? Like,
I do, man. You don't remember Darnold Allen after their first years?
Yes.
That was all over social media for entire offseason. It was Darnold versus Allen, Darnold versus Allen. And I've never seen Jets fans go at it that strongly until it was Darnold Allen. I think they just haven't had a reason to, because all their optimism is on a hold because Wilson's hurt. So no matter what they win with Joe Flacco, they still can't project the optimism because it didn't happen with Zach Wilson. If it would have happened with Zach Wilson, it's here we go.
Yeah. No, that's right. I do agree with that. Maybe it's because I'm so focused on Dolphins fans right now that I don't let enough intellectual space in my brain to think about. There was a time where I actually really hated Jets fans more than I hated anybody in the division. Just like I hate it. It's just like, you know, it goes in phases, Bruce. Like hating Patriots fans was a rite of passage. I grew up on it. I'm part of my blood is just hatred towards people of Massachusetts and Patriots fans. But this is different. I don't know why to me there's this level of disqualification almost, right? Which is, or just complete dismissiveness from the Dolphins in recognizing that they are walking into a team. Now, regardless of the injuries, a bleeping buzzsaw, Bruce, a bleeping buzzsaw that absolutely dismantled to, I don't know what the Titans are going to be, but the Rams are going to be a playoff team, right? They're not winning a Super Bowl again, but they're going to be a playoff team. And Bruce, if I'm being honest right now, going into week two, before we know about the Tua comeback, what would have, if this week on the docket were the Baltimore Ravens and it wasn't the Dolphins and they weren't coming off that blown three score lead, what would your confidence level be about beating the Ravens?
Strong. Not crazy strong, because I'm never crazy strong.
Agree.
But strong.
I agree. Now, transitive properties. Let's just talk about this for one moment if we can. If you feel very strongly that the Bills today, prior to knowing what you know about week two, this was week two all over again, and it was Bills-Ravens, and you'd feel very strongly about beating the Ravens on the road, what are we talking about? I mean, the Ravens dominated that team in the first half, and a lot of what we saw in that second half, yes, credit goes to Tua, credit goes to that offense. A lot of broken coverages, a lot of zero man blitzes for some insane reason. That defense absolutely is dying for and desperately misses Wink Martindale. Just desperately misses Wink Martindale. If you're confident about beating the Ravens, what am I supposed to be concerned about with this Dolphins team? I'm just trying to think through it that way, right? Because that was a good football game for the most part. But the first half, Bruce, the Baltimore Ravens absolutely dominated that Miami Dolphins team. And Tua, if Brian Flores is the head coach, he's getting yanked in that second half.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's coming to the rescue.
Yanked. Yes. So, I don't know. I just think it's to watch. And listen, I have one of my very good friends is a Dolphins fan. I was golfing with him today. He likes to play off that he's a sane person. I know deep in here, deep down. Week one, when I hosted everybody here on Sunday, because we had off because after the Thursday game, he was here watching the Dolphins game. And these people are unhinged. And I'll tell him to his face that he's unhinged. They believe, a pretty large faction of them believe that Tua is just as good as Josh Allen, and it's unironic, their belief in it. And hey, all the power to you. It is more fun, Bruce, to believe in your football team, right? I mean, it just is. And looking back, Bruce, I think about the Bills signing Kevin Cobb, right? Thinking, yeah, This is the year. This is the year. I believe in Kevin Cobb. Ah, he slips out of mat. All right. EJ Manuel. Oh, you know, there's something. That Carolina game. Oh, was that week one, Bruce? Carolina? The game-winning touchdown to CB Johnson, week two? Oh, were we on cloud nine or were we on cloud nine? We were eaten. We were talking about, is this the year we break the drought? This is the year. EJ's the franchise quarterback after that two-minute drive, right? 2 minutes convinced 60% of the fan base that they might have something. I get it. But QAnon's a real thing, man. It's a real thing. Mothers, sons, brothers, fathers, uncles, they're among us, and they're unhinged, Bruce. They're unhinged.
Well, I mean, what else do you say to that? Aside from, if they're so unhinged, it's time to make a little food metaphor here.
I think that's right.
If the upcoming Finns-Bills game was a food, what kind of food would it be? So I'm going to go first.
Okay, love it.
If it was a food, it would be a giant burrito eating challenge after you've already had lunch. That's what it is. Very, very specific. There are layers to this, much like the burrito would very much like have layers. You know, when you partake in an eating challenge, you want to make sure that you're prepared. You want to make sure that you have prepped. You don't just willy-nilly into an eating challenge. At least nobody who wants to win does. You prepare. We're going to get into specific eating challenges later. You notice there's going to be a theme to some of my metaphors this evening. But it feels like to me that the Bills-Fins game is a giant burrito challenge after you've already had lunch. Because I was feeling pretty good about this Bills team after week two. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, let's do it. And then your attention turns to Bills-Fins and all of the drama that you did not necessarily think you were going to have to deal with. Because the narrative for this game looks a lot different if that fourth quarter doesn't happen. And so now you're not prepared. You're a little caught aback by all the stuff you have to consume this week that you didn't think you were going to have to. Qualitatively, it's a much different conversation than it would have been if that fourth quarter doesn't happen for the Miami Dolphins against the Baltimore Ravens. We had our lunch. It was delicious. We got a W. And then all of a sudden, we turn our attention to the next thing on the menu, and we go, oh, crap. Now I got to deal with burritos. Listen, I can do it. I love burritos. I've eaten a lot of burritos in my day.
As have I.
But if I would have known that it was going to look like this, I would have prepared a little better. I would have had something ready to go. But meanwhile, I had the Red Zone channel going. I look up and it's 35-17. I'm like, all right, we're okay, cool. Well, Dolphins week is going to look like a certain thing. And then 2 hours later, you go, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting. And the Bills whoop up on the Titans and you go, okay, well, this isn't going to quite look the way I thought it was going to. I had lunch. I was full. And now I have to consume this burrito. And it's going to be a little harder than I thought it was going to be to consume this burrito. Don't get me wrong. I'm a champ. That's what I do. I eat burritos.
Yes, right? You do.
That's what I do. I spit takes and I eat burritos. And I'm all out of takes for the next 20 seconds. So I'm just going to eat burritos. But to me, that's what it's like. It's like a giant burrito challenge after you've already eaten lunch. Nate, if Bills Fins was a food, what kind of food would it be?
First of all, how do you like the new hat here?
I love the new hat, and I can tell that you love the new hat, which is more important.
I do.
My wife has this thing that she says to me sometimes. She goes, "I can always tell when you think you're doing a good job." Like when I'm, it's true. See, when I'm dancing in the kitchen or something,
right?
I naturally kind of keep the beat with my breath. Right. So you can hear me just go, in the background. Right. And she can always tell because I'll do this weird little duck face, man. I'll just go, and she goes, and she'll laugh. And she go, I can always tell when you feel like you're doing a good job. And when you, Nate, you're touching your hat, you're looking at it in the camera, you're feeling fly. I can tell that we are all going to love the hat, but most importantly, I'm glad that you love the hat.
I love this too. I got, so, you know, when I was at the game Monday, so as I was going, Joe DiBiase, we were at the Caesars mobile sports betting truck that they brought to the game. And right. Joe was like, what do we wear? Should we wear Bill stuff? I'm like, yeah, you know, we probably should. And I went in my closet. We moved recently. We moved, you know, I still have boxes down here, for God's sakes. And I go in my closet. I'm like, babe, where's all my Bill stuff? We're looking. Bruce, I couldn't find any hats. I couldn't find any shirts, any Zubas, nothing. It's very possible they didn't make the move over. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go and have to buy new Bills gear. So I got this thing. It's like a short sleeve quarter zip. It is fresh to death. And then this hat, I'm not a huge Bills hat. I don't like sports teams hats, 'cause a lot of them, they fit my head weird. This one is like a vintagey looking trucker hat. Like, I was like, oh, that's the move. But I digress. I got to get into this because I'm actually very excited to share. I worked hard on this one, as you might see here. I took a lot of notes for this one. If Bills Dolphins were a food, Bruce, it would be chicken 2 days past the cook or freeze by date. It's chicken, right? And it's probably fine. But you find yourself questioning whether or not it might taste right, or it might not be. It's certainly not as fresh as it wants it to, as you know, Wegmans wants me to cook or freeze it by. But it's probably fine. 2 days, 3 days past a Best Buy date, that's no big deal, right? But there's this level of skepticism, right? It's only 2 days, or in the case of the Miami Dolphins, it's only two quarters. And you wonder if that second half in Baltimore was a fluke. And you wonder, should I cook this chicken, or should I throw it out and just go get more chicken, or switch to another, you know, entree dish for this evening? But for the most part, it's probably fine. And you're probably going to enjoy it. And it's going to taste like chicken that is well before its freeze by or eat by date. But you eat it anyways. You throw it on the grill. You slather up some sauce. You put the dry rubs on it. So on, so be it. Bruce, I don't know whether or not this chicken is to be taken seriously 2 days after the freeze-by date. I just don't know, Bruce. And I'm going to eat it. I'm going to give it a chance. But I'm thinking more likely than not, it's going to be delicious because I make it. And it's going to be delicious when the Bills take down the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at 1:00. But there is skepticism. A respect that I have for that team. It's two games into their new coaching regime, and I like what I'm seeing from Mike McDaniel. It's two games into the Tua, Hill, and Waddle experience, and there's a lot to like. But that offensive line, Terron Armstead, questionable going into this game with a toe injury. Last time I checked, Bruce, I think you need a toe when you're playing offensive line, when you're playing tackle. Tua's blindside. Now, Armstead's a left tackle. Tua's left-handed. His blindside, third string right tackle. So I'm just saying, oh, and by the way, the second worst defense in the league in yards per play. So is it 2 day old? Is it going to taste a little funky? Or is it going to be fine? That's the question.
I'm really disappointed that you didn't say, is it Tua day old?
Shoot.
I cannot tell you how disappointed
Sugar.
I am.
Sugar. You know what? Had you come up with this, you would 100% did that.
I probably would have, but that's okay. I'm lame like that. Cam Greasy really liked my monologue, said Bruce Nukem is what we're going with. I don't know. Are you a Duke Nukem guy, Nate? Are you too young for Duke Nukem?
No, I'm not too young. That's N64, and I really didn't have N64. I was a Sega Genesis guy.
My boot, your face, the perfect couple. That's the Duke Nukem.
So I would have been Sonic the Hedgehog. I would have been. So when I did play N64, I would have been at my buddy's house, and we were GoldenEye guys. Hardcore GoldenEye.
So it's very, very important that you know that Duke Nukem was a 1991 Windows game.
Wow. So it wasn't an N64 game?
So Nintendo 64 was Duke Nukem Total Meltdown in 1996.
Okay.
But
okay,
that
okay.
was like deep into Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem and Duke Nukem 2 were both Windows games.
Yeah, definitely. I did
DOS,
not. The
and, only and DOS games. They start off as DOS games.
The only Windows game I remember would have been Wolfenstein.
Okay, that's fair. Wolfenstein is awesome.
Wolfenstein, yes, Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Wolfenstein was awesome. All right, moving along.
Moving along.
Food simile. The Dolphins comeback from last week make me feel like. All right, now this one I always thought was going to be fun and challenging. How
this
do
was
you
challenging.
Turn an event into a food? Right?
Yeah.
So, Nate, I'm going to let you start. The okay. Dolphins comeback from last week made me feel like.
I'm at a restaurant with all of my friends and we're sharing appetizers and someone orders the calamari and looks at me and says, Nate, just try it. Everyone here likes it. Try the calamari. I know that I'm not going to like the calamari. In fact, you know me, Bruce, big texture guy. It's a smell thing for me too. It does not smell pleasant. Even when it's deep fried and it's got all the fixins, it doesn't smell appetizing. It doesn't look appetizing. And I don't want it. I know I don't want it. But people continue to try to make me. It's like they won't stop trying to convince me that I'll like it when I know that I don't. Right. And that means I got to order my own appetizer. And that means I'm probably going to be a little full when I eat dinner. It means I can't eat any of the bread. But at the same time, Bruce, people get it and they look like they're enjoying it. It's just, I don't like calamari. I never will. And I know I won't. So stop trying to convince me that the Dolphins are an elite football team. Stop trying to convince me that 2 years and six quarters of football and all of a sudden two is supposed to change my mind. Don't tell me that this restaurant's calamari is different. It's the same as everyone else's calamari. It comes from the sea. It's rubbery. It smells like rancid fish. And your deep fried bread battered crap can't change my mind. And two quarters of football, Bruce, is simply not going to change my mind about Tua just yet.
You know, this is some classic Nate Geary soapboxing this evening. You're really the star. I mean, let's be honest. You've always been the star of the show. We know this. I'm just here to support and produce. But there is some, you are in rare form as far as soapboxing about the Dolphins goes tonight. And I am proud to be riding shotgun with you, my friend. So for me, the Dolphins comeback from last week made me feel like I was Joey Chestnut in 2015. I mentioned before that we were going to have conversations about eating contests, right? Competitive eating. Joey Chestnut has won 15 of the last 16 hot dog eating contests. But in 2015, he lost
Kobayashi,
to a man named Matt Stoney.
Wow, Kobayashi hasn't won in that long?
So, we're specifically talking about one type of hot dog eating contest. Just one, and it's Nathan's. That's it. At least this is according to the wiki I looked up a couple hours ago. So Matt Stoney in 2015 came in and won the Nathan's Competitive Hot Dog Eating Championship. And the thing that I thought was really interesting about this is for that brief moment, Joey Chestnut was still the dude. He lost by two.
Yeah.
Right? He was still the dude at that time. But all the attention went to Matt Stoney for a little bit. And meanwhile, Joey Chestnut's sitting here going, dude, I've got championship after championship here. What's going on here? What's happening? Why are you talking about that guy? That guy snuck out a W and all of a sudden he takes all the attention off me? The Buffalo Bills have completely dominated the Miami Dolphins for years.
That's right.
But the Miami Dolphins put up a great fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, it's, oh, this is the game of the week. This would not be the game of the week if Tua doesn't go off in the fourth quarter. One quarter took this from another Dolphins game to the game of the week between undefeated AFC East rivals. And I'm not saying that Matt Stoney is not a worthy hot dog eating contest contestant. He absolutely is. But he's not Joey Chestnut.
No.
And in order to beat the man, you got to beat the man multiple times. You got to prove you're actually good. And so the sample size for the Miami Dolphins is still very small under new head coach Mike McDaniel, who I like, by the way. And Tua Tagovailoa, who, by the way, I also like. I like Tua as a person. I like him. I enjoy listening to his interviews. I think he's refreshingly honest. I really like Tua a lot. I was really hoping the Dolphins wouldn't draft him because I like Tua. I liked him coming out of Alabama. I like his story. I like what's going on. But for me, that's what it felt like. It felt like Matt Stoney and Joey Chestnut in 2015, where you're like, listen, I understand he's the flavor of right now. Like, I get that. Okay. He won a championship. Good for him. But look, dude, scoreboard. And that's how it feels with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins. It's just W after W after W. And the thing that's annoying about this is if the Dolphins win, it's going to be a changing the guard thing. We're going to have to wait again. We're going to have to wait to beat them weeks. I would want to play them immediately again.
Immediately.
Next time. But we don't get to do that. So for me, it's Joey Chestnut, Matt Stoney, 2015, Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
By the way, Kobayashi's last win was 2006.
Told you.
That's crazy to me. I thought that was that 2006 is how many years ago, Bruce? That is 16 years ago. It does not feel that long ago that, listen, you know, it's not too long ago that I started betting on the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So we've really come a long way. You're not a better, are you, Bruce?
Not historically. Most of the bets that I have ever placed in my entire life, I have placed with you on this show. Now, to be fair, I think I've won every single one we've ever made.
Nate, yeah, you have.
BJ in the comment section says, Nate looking like the Godfather on here. He's got his cat on his lap. I was actually going to go with Dr. Evil I was going.
Yes. Throw me a freaking bone.
The Bills are going to win by 1 billion.
Billion. Fafillion. Shabbity-doo. You know, it's funny because I was singing, I was singing the Dr. Evil song, you know, the one where he makes about Mini-Me.
Just the two of us?
From the moment I heard Frau say I had a clone, knew I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. An evil doctor shouldn't speak a lot about his feelings. My hurt and pain don't make me too appealing. You know, like, come on. It's such a good song. Are we making a remix of that, Bruce?
I think it might be. It's just the two of us, except it's Nate.
It is just Bruce. The two of us.
It's just the two of us.
Wow.
We're going to make it happen.
And people don't know. You could be my mini-me.
I could be. I absolutely could be. That's a real possibility that I would be your mini me. Although I think we've established that I'm markedly a different age than you.
That's what we tell people. Yeah.
Or we could be lying.
Right. Who knows?
I hear that lying is all the rage on the internet nowadays.
Bruce could be 18.
I could be. This could all be an elaborate
and
ploy.
Miss Nolan could really be literally Miss Nolan, his mother.
Oh man, if that's the case, I have some explaining to do. I have to go delete some tweets, Nate.
Okay, touche.
This show, man. What is this show anymore?
I don't know. It just is what it is. We're in. I'm in my basement. I don't know where you are in conjunction in your home.
I'm in the studio. That's where I'm at. I'm in the studio.
This will soon be a studio. By the way, I finally got. I'm getting them framed this week. So next time you see me, hopefully there'll be a framed poster there. And a frame poster over here as well, next to the TVs.
Literally no one at this point tunes into the show for hard-hitting football analysis. We're all just here to laugh and have a good time on a Friday night.
That's a fact. I mean, God, listen, if you wanted hard-hitting analysis, you'd go listen to Joe Marino. You know, there's too many great Bills podcasts for you and me. They'd listen to the Bruce exclusive.
Thank
right?
you. You're literally on with a podcaster who does football philosophy on Thursdays. My gosh.
Listen, Samson doesn't give a crap about the Bruce exclusive podcast.
No, he does not. He should, though.
He should. He's into catalytics.
Oh, there we go. Catalytics. It's very good. Patton says the Dolphins game made me feel like a night of drinking tequila. It felt great at the time, and then I threw up all over myself. Yeah. That's a good one. That's absolutely a good one. I think we had another one up here that was going to Patton said my appetizer analogy for this game is that if it's a salad, it might be good, it might be bad, it might be bland. Either way, it won't greatly impact my opinion of the meal. That's a really good one.
Ooh.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
And Bruce, you know, we should probably now I got hair all over me. All right, hair.
It's literally in the camera frame. We can see it floating in the ether. It looks like someone's having eye floaties, like someone's having like a detached retina, and we have eye floaties, except it's cat hair and it's in your camera.
I petted him a lot. So, wow, this is a lot. It's everywhere. Holy cow, bro. What's up with you?
They're coming for you.
So
Alfred Hitchcock's next film, The Hair.
The Hair. The Hair of the Cat. And it's Hair of the Dog, but they really meant Hair of the Cat. We got this whole show. I know we're not a hard-hitting football take show, but we should probably end on, before we get to winners and losers, we should probably end on talking about the injuries, because it feels like an unprecedented moment in Sean McDermott's tenure as a head coach. He just has do we want to call it luck? I mean, there is a level of luck in there. But whatever this training program they do is, I think it matters that, you know, on campus, they've got such great facilities and guys want to be here in the offseason. And, you know, they can monitor and the weight training and preventative training. This is the longest injury list I've ever seen in a Sean McDermott coach team.
You know, it's ironic that you would mention this. I actually wrote an article that we'll post on BuffaloRumblings.com specifically about this. And it's titled, "With Injuries Piling Up, New Bills Faces May Be Key to Victory Over the Dolphins." And what I mentioned in this is that championship teams have championship level depth or championship level luck. Mm. And the last couple of years, the Buffalo Bills have received championship level injury luck. But because you can't count on that level of luck every single year,
that's right,
you must make sure that you are establishing championship level depth. And I understand that it's impossible to have really good players at every spot on your depth chart. That's just not the way it works. But you can have competent players who don't embarrass you. And that's really what you got to have, because you have enough star power to carry you. It's the exact same way when it comes to Dynasty Fantasy Football that you and I are part of. You recently made a trade today to try and get some better players, right? And my starting lineup is good in Dynasty. The reason that I'm 1-2 years back to back is because I suffer injuries, I can just throw waves and waves and waves of solid, reasonable players at you.
That's right.
Whereas somebody else, they suffer one injury, one suspension, it's all over. It's done. Your year's toast. But last year, people go down, waves and waves. Joe Burrow goes down the first year I acquire him, waves and waves and waves of players. I can just keep throwing them at you. Saquon Barkley goes down first year I got him. Boom, waves of players. And this is the way it comes down to the Buffalo Bills, is that I'm not expecting C.J. Brewer to be Jordan Phillips. What I want is I want C.J. Brewer to not be a liability against the Dolphins offensive line that is not great. Because what makes the coaching successful with depth is not your ability to turn undrafted players who are on your practice squad into stars overnight. It's your ability to make sure they don't embarrass you.
Right.
Just hang on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what depth actually is. How many times have you heard the phrase over and over and over again? This is the trope. When you have a backup quarterback come in, just go 500, right?
Right. Correct. That's, yeah.
How is that any different than this?
Totally agree.
Just tread water. Jaquan Johnson, you've been in the system, my man. I understand that you are not a stellar straight line athlete. And you know what? If Sean McDermott plays a ton of one high and Leslie Frazier plays a ton of one high with Jaquan Johnson having to do full field reads, then it's on them, because that's not who Jaquan Johnson is.
Right.
That's never been who he was coming out of Miami. We knew that who wasn't who he was. But if you ask Jaquan Johnson to do Jaquan Johnson things and say, listen, we know you're not Micah Hyde. That's okay. We know you're not Jordan Poyer. That's okay. But you've been in the system. You know what you're supposed to do. Go do the thing. And when it comes to the new guys, Kair Elam, you were probably disappointed that you started this year splitting time with six-round rookie Christian Benford. Now's your time. Now's your time. That straight line speed that we talked about all offseason long when it came to CB2 and how much that would matter against people like Tyreek Hill, albeit we thought it was going to be the Chiefs' Tyreek Hill.
That's
how
right.
much things like that would matter. How much being able to man up would matter. How much having that closing speed would matter. Now is it time to matter. Mm. Kair Elam, you had a couple games under your belt. You run a 4.39. Now's the time.
Bruce, did we just take turns soapboxing?
Yeah, it's a little bit like beatboxing, how you kind of go back and forth. You know, but you know, blah, 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 and you pass it on. Yeah, you pass it on to me, and I'm passing it back to you.
Yeah, I'm into that.
We can soapbox with the best of them, you and me.
No doubt about it.
Bruce Exclusive is just basically a 25-minute soapbox for me. And I go off on, we talk about Latin on my show. Latin and, all sorts of weird stuff, because that's what we do.
No, that's right. I mean, that's the cool thing about this show is, you know, we do take some notes, guys. Just so you know, and everyone should know this. A little bit of preparation goes into this show. But part of the great part about it is we put together, Bruce will send me day of, usually day before, the rundown of the show, just the categories. Bruce does not say, hey, Nate, I think you should grab this, this, and this. Bruce simply says, here are the things we're going to talk about in the broadest sense. He literally just gives me the topics that scroll under your screen. And then it is up to both of our creative. Listen, we're well into a year into this podcast. And the creativity continues to flow, Bruce. It just is. It's surprising it's lasted this long. The creativity on the food end of this.
We're making it work.
We are.
Continually make it work. So let's get winners and losers. Let's do it. You want to start with winners or losers?
Nate? Let's start with winners.
Okay. Winners. I'm not going to touch on it very long. Okay. It's Tua. Tua changed the entire narrative of this game with one quarter of football. It's that simple. The entire narrative of this game is different because of one quarter of football. The pivot point for an entire 5 days of sports conversation happened because of Tua. That's a W.
Yeah. That's it, huh?
That's it. What you got?
Biggest winner. I'm going to go with a different quarterback, a quarterback that no one seems to be talking about. No one, Bruce. Do you? And let me give you one more hint and ask you to guess who the quarterback I'm going to talk to you about is.
All right.
This is a quarterback that really, since he was drafted, has been talked about as not being good enough and had a great coach, got to the promised land, was traded, and was sort of jettisoned, like just sent to his impending death. And from the ashes, he rise, Bruce.
Carson Wentz.
Jared Goff.
Ah, Jared Goff. Okay.
Jared Goff is rising from the ashes, Bruce. And he looks better than he did at any time playing under Sean McVay. And that's saying something, because he got his team to a Super Bowl. And I know he threw 33 touchdowns or whatever. Bruce, the quarterback, it was so much so, Bruce, that I went back and I watched the All-22 this week of the Eagles game. This is not my job, talking about the Lions, right? I went back and watched the All-22 of the Eagles. And All-22 last week against the Commanders. And Bruce, I was in awe of the command he has for the offense, the trust the offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator, has in Jared Goff. And the connection between him and Amon-Ra St. Brown,
dude,
is absolutely real. It is.
How good is Amon-Ra St. Brown?
In the same way, Bruce, that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs together, they're both elevating their game. Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown together are elevating their game. And here's the thing, Bruce. Here's why I just don't know that there's a better situation in the NFL for Jared Goff to be in. You have a top five offensive line. You have a top five tight end, top 10 tight end. He's not been great to start the year, but he's top five talent.
You think you more highly of T.J. Hockenson than I do, I think.
I think he's got top five talent. He's not right now. I mean, numbers-wise, through two games, he's been very – but the offense is flowing through Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like DJ Chark as a number two, number three guy. This offense has Jameson Williams coming pretty soon here, bro. Like six, 7, 8 weeks when he gets off, whenever he's ready to come back. I think he's on the IR, so he'll be available after week six. They've got a heck of a run game with DeAndre Swift. Right now, Bruce, 4.7 yards per carry, Bruce, before contact. Not 4.7 yards per carry. 4.7 yards before they're touched, Bruce. I mean, a lot of people, rightfully so, are talking about Josh Allen and this Bills offense. They're probably the best offense in the league right now. The Kansas City Chiefs, they continue to be a machine on the offensive side of the ball. Now people want to talk about Miami, even though they scored one touchdown a week ago. You know, they scored a lot of points and threw for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. I think the Detroit Lions are being grossly under-talked about. And my man, Jared Goff, is having a career revival. And if he can lead this Lions team, which, to be straight with you right now, Bruce, the NFC is light. The NFC West is a joke. That conference, Bruce, is wide open. I don't believe they'll have the goods to win that division. They absolutely can push for a wild card spot. And it would not shock me, Bruce, if they won a playoff game. And if they do that, how do you draft another quarterback? I think Jared Goff's not 30 years old, is he? I mean, Jared Goff is 27. He's in the prime. He's not even really truly hitting the prime. He's 2 years older than Josh Allen. So I think a lot of us, rightfully so, I know Sean McVay and Les Snead left him for dead on the side of the road. And here he is, reviving his career on maybe one of the most likable teams in the NFL. My biggest winner, the man, Jared Goff.
Love it. Love it. I'm a huge Amon-Ra St. Brown guy, as you know. So I love to see it. I absolutely love to see it. Love what the Lions are doing. All right, biggest loser from this week. You want to go first?
Yeah. And I mean, right. Padden, of course, kind of stole my thunder on this one, but it's got to be Nathaniel Hackett. And frankly, it probably should have been our biggest loser last week. Nathaniel Hackett, through two games, the decision-making's not been good. I don't know what to make of the Denver Broncos. To me, Wilson, I don't know what to make of Russell Wilson anymore, man. And now the kind of the honeymoon's over with him in Denver already. And it's an early exit from the honeymoon. But I don't know if you heard the Richard Sherman podcast, but and KJ Wright, I mean, two captains from that Super Bowl team and part of the Legion of Boom, right? And then you see this, you know, the run pass video. It's as cringy as cringe can be, right? And I've been on a lot of sidelines. In the NFL, that is a very weird thing. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. But what I'll say overall is Nathaniel Hackett, really from every level, he's the son of a coach, a very successful, I believe, high school or college coach, his dad was. He was the offensive coordinator under Doug Marrone. And if you remember, had those duties kind of plucked from him, right? Because he was young in his career. Then he goes and he's the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then after the Jaguars, he goes to Green Bay, right? At no point, Bruce, has Nathaniel Hackett ever really run his offense. He ran Doug Marrone's offense in Buffalo and then again in Jacksonville. And I don't know what his role was as offensive coordinator, but he wasn't calling plays. And Matt LaFleur's offense in Green Bay. I don't know. And I questioned that hire from the beginning, Bruce. I start to ask the question, like, what what makes Nathaniel Hackett qualified to be a head coach in the NFL? And I'm not sure that he is, to be quite frank.
My biggest loser for the week is Baker Mayfield. How reasonably competent do the Browns look right now? Do you know the Browns with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback are a top five offense in the NFL right now?
Yep.
Jacoby Brissett. Is Jacoby Brissett better than Baker Mayfield, Nate? Is that that's all I needed to hear. You don't even have to answer it. The fact that I can pose that question and you can go, that's all we need to know. Because Baker Mayfield's the biggest loser. If you thought that you're Baker Mayfield, you're going to go to Carolina and you're going to prove that you should be a starting quarterback next year for a team, you didn't. You haven't. The Panthers look like a disaster. The Browns look shockingly competent on offense.
Yeah.
Defense is a completely different story. Their secondary leaves something to be desired. But thankfully, Mitch Trubisky and Matt Canada cannot take advantage. So, Baker Mayfield just ends up looking bad. Really bad. Because he's not playing well. And his replacement, who was expected to be a lower-level placeholder, just don't screw it up, is coming in, is playing shockingly competent, and it's taking advantage of Amari Cooper in a way that Baker Mayfield never did for Odell Beckham.
That's right.
Ever.
That's right.
Baker Mayfield very, very likely is not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL by a preferred franchise. Like, they're going to say, yes, he's the guy I want for 2023.
Can I say, though, that Ben McAdoo is not doing him any favors?
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. You can absolutely do that.
He needs to throw the ball to DJ Moore.
Let's go apples to apples, okay? Jacoby Brissett looks better in the Browns offense than Baker Mayfield looked in the Browns offense.
That's right. I guess part of me as being a semi-Baker defender is that I just would like to see him get in an offense where he gets the lineup in shotgun and run a Bruce Arians-style offense. But he's not. And this is probably his last. He's probably got, 15 games, Bruce, to turn it around. Otherwise, what? He's the Bills' backup quarterback next year?
I think there's plenty of teams that wouldn't want him as a backup quarterback, specifically just because of the personality. And if you have that kind of personality and you're not a preferred starter, what are you in the NFL? What are you?
Cam Newton.
You're Cam Newton.
I mean, Cam Newton's also shot, but Cam Newton.
But ironically enough, he's shot due to a shoulder injury, which is what Baker Mayfield had.
True.
So that's ironic.
Yes,
that's the losers for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We did all the things. We made it through an hour of Nate and I soapboxing about food and Tua and Dolphins fans and the whole thing. And I hope we rapped about Mini-Me. And
you complete me.
Exactly. Mini-Me, you'll complete me. And we did the hand motions like Nate just did into the camera. And it was a good time. And I hope you had some fun with us. I hope you laughed along. I hope you enjoy the weekend. I hope we trample the mammal, because we don't say squish the fish, because the Dolphins are not fish, they're mammals. So trample the mammal is what we're going with. And most importantly, I hope you didn't leave hungry.